So I have a question for everybody. Do we have any aspiring home chefs here today? A couple? Well, around our house, the best cook does most of the cooking. That's not me. But you could say we're foodies around our house. We like to watch cooking shows. One of our favorites on network TV is MasterChef. Yeah, if you're not familiar with the show, that's where several home chefs will come together to compete to win the title of MasterChef. Each week, a cook whose dish doesn't quite up to par is sent home. Now, towards the end of the season, when there's only a handful of contestants left, they have a competition which is called Keeping Up with Gordon. And that is Gordon Ramsay, the master chef there. And he'll come out in front of the contestants and prepare one of his signature dishes. As he prepares it, he gives the contestants detailed instructions of what he is doing as he goes along. Instructions they must meticulously follow to prepare the dish properly. And so the contestants must pay close attention to his instruction and example. And they're given all the ingredients they need to prepare this dish and a specific amount of time to prepare it in. So they have to prepare this dish that is not only to have the same flavor and texture of the dish, but it's also to be plated exactly the same, to visually look the same as Mr. Ramsay's dish. And so when they have finished preparing the dishes, they will individually present them to the master judges, which include Ramsay and three other master chefs. They will sample, critique, and judge their dish. And they are judged on how well they follow the master's example and instruction. But none of these dishes presented will wholly capture the master chef's dish, but some come pretty close. And so these contestants signed up for this competition to learn to be better cooks. We want to learn from the best, from a master chef. They aspire to become one themselves. This word master has many meanings, definitions. But for this, our use here today, in the noun definition that we like to use, says it's a person who is eminently skilled at something as an occupation, art, or science. One who conquers, superior. As an adjective, the characteristic of a master is one showing superior skill, ability, or knowledge. And so we obviously aren't here to learn to cook today. But we do have a master and teacher, right? This teacher we want to learn from. John 13 and verse 13 in the King James Version. Jesus says, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." But Christ is our master for many reasons. But for one, he's eminently skilled at knowledge and knowledgeable at life and living a righteous life. We want to follow Christ to be a Christian. A Christian is a person who exemplifies in their life the teachings of Christ. It sounds like some of you are already turning to John 13, so go ahead and do that, and we'll read this verse in context here. And I'll be reading from the New King James for most of the rest of the message. So we'll begin in verse 12 here, Jesus with the apostles on Passover. John 13, verse 12. It says, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher, master's translated teacher here. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, for I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. And most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So in his life, Jesus gave us examples to follow in all aspects of life. And just in this, the act of foot washing alone, he showed humility, love, servant's attitude. Let's turn to Philippians 2. We know Jesus was God in the flesh, showing us our purpose and how to live our lives. He humbled himself to live as a man, not a man of high esteem. Philippians 2, we'll read verses 5 through 8. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Christ's example was his obedience to God to the point of death. Hebrews 13, verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't waver from living a righteous life. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2. Peter sums up the example Jesus set for us. 1 Peter 1 and chapter 2. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, we'll read verses 20 through 23. It says, for what credit is it if you are beaten for your faults and you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, you take it patiently. This is commendable before God. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Never lied, he never sinned. Verse 23, who when he was reviled and did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He wasn't vengeful. He entrusted himself to God. And he led this perfect life as an example for us to follow. So, would you say you're a student of Christ? I would say so, but would you consider yourself a disciple of Christ? It's kind of easy to think, well, those are kind of the same thing. But are they really? Webster defines disciple as one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another. It says, disciple implies a devoted allegiance to the teachings of one chosen as master. And as a synonym for disciple is follower. And a definition of follow is to engage in as a calling or way of life. So I'll be using disciple and follower as interchangeably. And for the remainder of this message, we're going to look into what it is to be a disciple of Christ. We'll examine ways we can ensure that we are growing in being a follower of Him. So the title of this message will be To Follow Him. Let's turn to John chapter 1. Read verses 35 through 39. In John 13 and verse 34, Jesus told us that people will know his disciples for their love for one another. John 1 and verse 35. Here John the Baptist had disciples, followed him. John 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, that Lamb without blemish. Verse 37. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, What do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say when translated teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see. They came and saw where he was and staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. They remained with him that day. When Jesus said, Come and see, it was a call to follow him. To a disciple, his rabbi, his master, teacher, and Lord, we see Jesus referred to by all these terms in the Gospels. But the rabbi-disciple relationship goes much deeper than that of a teacher and student. A student wants to know what the teacher knows. A disciple wants to become just like his master and teacher in every way. That's taking the student to a next level. You think about when you were in school, or you may still be, you wanted to learn what your teacher knew. You wanted to learn the knowledge they had to offer, but you didn't necessarily want to be like them. So it's a far deeper commitment than a teacher-student relationship. Why Jesus' disciples were always traveling with him. They wanted to know just what their teacher knew. They wanted to become like him in every way. Matthew 4, verse 25 tells us the great multitudes followed Jesus from Galilee, from the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So they literally accompanied their master everywhere they went. Everywhere he went. They wanted to see what their teacher did in every circumstance of life. How did he pray? How did he meditate? How did he teach? How did he apply God's word in everyday life? This is what it is to truly follow Jesus. Terms used kind of loosely on social media. You can follow somebody online. You're not truly following them. They're just keeping up with their online posts. Let's Turn to Matthew 4 and verse 18. It's no coincidence in the Gospels we repeatedly see Jesus telling someone to follow me. It was an invitation, but also a command. Follow me and be my disciple. Matthew 4. We'll pick it up here in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Following Jesus meant their lives were about to change. Verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. These men were busy about their lives, and they dropped what they were doing and followed Jesus. Jesus called them to hear his instructions and to see his example. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Apostle Paul wasn't among the original disciples, but he well understood the rabbi-disciple relationship. Paul knew we are to become like our perfect rabbi in every way. Ephesians 4, we'll read pick it up in verse 11. Here Paul speaking of Christ. Says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity and of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature in the fullness of Christ." So not just the knowledge of Christ, but to attain the whole measure and fullness of him. Paul was clear that Jesus was his role model, and 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, he said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So how do we ensure that we are such followers of Christ? What steps can we take to make sure we're becoming more like him in every way? Well, the path is the same as what Jesus' own disciples did in the first century. So I have 3 points here. First one is a disciple must spend as much time as possible with his master. We know that you have to spend time with someone to really get to know them. The goal of a disciple wasn't just knowledge, but personal transformation. By his words and actions, Jesus constantly challenged his disciples' way of looking at God and other people. But it took time for them to change. These changes didn't come quickly or easily. You know, last week in Mr. Scott's message, he was talking about our fruits and how it takes fruit a long time to grow. And the Gospels record many examples of Jesus healing people of ailments, but we don't see an example where he immediately cured someone of their sinful habit or character defect. You might say, "Go and sin no more," but he didn't cure them of that sin. But instead, he just would continue to teach and gently correct them, giving them time to grow and change. This is how God works in our lives. We stay close to him and follow Jesus. The inner transformation to the new man or woman can only be achieved over time. So how do we measure up in regards? As followers of our Master Jesus Christ, how much time do we spend with him? Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Of course, we're not talking about spending physical time with him. We're talking about spending spiritual time with Jesus. We're doing that right now as we come to services on Sabbath day. But in the Bible, we're given a whole book of his teachings, his thoughts, his truth, his example, living life. We know that Jesus was the God, the I Am of the Old Testament as well. 2 Timothy 3, we'll read verse 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Brethren, it's a blessing to have access to these words. But are we using them like we should? This is how we become complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. John 20 and verse 31 tells us, these words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. What are we doing with this book? We want to make it part of our hearts and minds, our thinking, our character. Not let that world out there get in the way. We want to be reading, studying, meditating on these words as much as we can. This brings us to the second aspect of what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. And that is that we must be totally committed to our Lord and Master. Matthew 16, verse 24, I'll just read. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is telling us here to lose the life we had before we were called. We must change and keep changing. No matter how long you've been baptized, you know, that old self can creep back in if we let it. It's always out there going, hey, remember me? We don't want to look back. Let's turn to Luke 9. Read verse 57 through 62. Read here where Jesus tells several individuals, follow him. But he shows that it's not going to be easy. Luke 9, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So Jesus is kind of saying, well, I'm glad you want to follow, but there will be hardship and discomfort. Jesus didn't candy coat things to try to lure followers. Verse 59, then he said to another, follow me. He said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. All these people came up with various excuses to why they couldn't follow Jesus at this time. It's just not a good time right now. But Jesus told them to be true followers of him. They needed to leave everything behind, not hesitate to show the depth of their commitment. Christ tells us to leave our old lives behind and don't look back. Back to that old self. But we also shouldn't look to the left or to the right, to our present world out there that's full of distractions. We want to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and follow our Master and Lord. If we don't, we can get off course. I'm sure you've all been driving down the road, and, you know, you're keeping it between the lines, and just look off the road for a second or two, and then you're weaving, you know. It can happen quickly. So we want to keep focused on our Lord and Master and follow his ways. But Jesus' way of life was to serve God through committing his life to teaching people about God. He didn't veer from that ever. But it was a challenging existence, and his followers shared that difficult life. But they also would experience great joy. After all, they were disciples of an extraordinary rabbi, learning from him the deep things of God that no one else knew, and it stunned those who heard them. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Spending so much time together and the complete commitment of a disciple to his master produced a very strong bond. And Jesus Christ's disciples understood this as well. Mark 10, we'll pick it up in verse 25. Jesus here makes a bold statement that catches the disciples off guard. Mark 10, verse 25, it says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. But Peter's words here reflect the deep devotion and total commitment that a rabbi, her disciple, would have for a rabbi. And Jesus answered, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, we shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last will be first. They're saying whatever you left behind of your old life, you'll receive 100-fold more in this life and the next. Let's turn to John 12. John 12, we'll just read verse 26. John 12, verse 26, if anyone, Jesus speaking, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. This brings us to our third point. disciple and follower must serve and obey his master. You know, a follower would become more like the master by serving and obeying him. As Jesus told his followers in Luke 6 and verse 46, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" He clearly expects his disciples to serve and obey him. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6, I'll just kind of paraphrase as Mr. Kosa read this earlier, but in a different context here. 1 John 2, verse 3, says, "We know that we have to come to know him if we keep his commands." Verse 5, "But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him, keeping his commands." The disciples were to learn by serving their masters. They would learn humility, which was a requirement for proper growth. We serve one another. When we serve one another, we are serving Christ. I don't have to turn there, but Matthew 25 and verse 37, parable where the master said, "I was hungry and you gave me food, and thirsty and you gave me drink." He says, "Surely I say to you, as much as you did for one of the least of these brethren, you have done to me." Let's turn to Luke 12. Here we'll read beginning of verse 35. Jesus speaking tells us what we should be doing or how we should be when he returns. Luke 12, verse 35. It says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Surely I say to you that he will gird himself and sit and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow this house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." Then Peter said to him, "Lord, you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he has." So we want to be truly following Jesus, to be prepared for his return. Keep our lamps burning and watching, and not hesitate when to knock on that door. And so, brethren, we are to be transforming our lives so that we become like our master and teacher. Something is always shaping us. Will we let it be the culture and the world around us? Or will it be our master and teacher, Jesus Christ? Let's turn to John 8, verse 12 for a final scripture. I know Mr. Kosher's glad to hear that. And we want to spend as much time with him as possible and be totally committed to him and serve and obey him in every way. This is what it means to be a follower and a disciple of Christ. Now, we are not preparing a food dish, but we're preparing ourselves for God's kingdom. It's a dark world out there. More than ever, we need to be focused and follow the example and instruction of our Lord and Master who set for us. But the blessings we receive from following Jesus far outweigh the sacrifices we make to do so. John 8, verse 12. So then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.